For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show in association with Audio Boom. Coming up this week, and then there were two competitions to talk about, that is, this weekend. The VARs and the small matter of the FA Cup. Plus, we meet the manager getting a call-up after a call-up. More on that later then, but let's bring in the team. Our very own Sergeant Major, former manager at AFC Wimbledon and Hendon, which will be relevant this week, amongst others, Dave Anderson.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, it's a very good afternoon for you. Aren't you sat overlooking a golf course?
I'm just sat overlooking my golf club, Northwood, and I must thank the staff here for letting me use the upstairs room to speak to your good self and David.
You haven't thanked them yet, but you must thank them.
Can't you tell I've got my golf voice on?
Yes, relax. Next up, we heard talk of him. Don't tell him, Pike. PR man with the Evo stick.
I knew you were going to say Private Pike. I knew it. I know he jumped in and said it in advance then.
And Ryman Leagues. Dave Waters.
I'm a general. I'm a field marshal, mate.
You are a field marshal. Plenty to rattle through this week, not least in the FA Cup, which we'll get to in just a moment with Phil Annette, he of FA Cup Fact File. But let's start with a gentleman who this week said he expects plenty more twists and turns before the National League is run this season. With three wins and three clean sheets in January, earning him the dreaded Manager of the Month, who are we to argue? Dagenham and Redbridge Boss, John Bross? He's singing. Dagenham and Redbridge Boss, John Still, who thankfully didn't hear me just muck up because we joined him a little earlier at training.
How you doing?
All right, I can hear you're on the training ground then. Well, I take it that, unless you're walking around with your own rabble.
No, I am on the training ground, that's all right.
How's life then, at the top of the table?
Well, we're not quite at the top, but they're challenging. It's been good, we've enjoyed our time. I think that one of the pleasing aspects for us, if I'm being honest, is the amount of sort of inexperienced players from lower levels we've brought in have taken to it fantastically well, and it's given us a good season so far.
Well, I know, Mr. Anderson, there's at least one of those players you want to talk about.
Yeah. Hiya, John, how are you?
How you doing, mate? You okay?
I'm very well, John, I'm very well. I'm just, there's a couple of questions. Obviously, I want to see how Ollie Hawkins is doing and ask about, there's big speculation around the grapevine that there would be an offer put on the table from a league club in the January window. Was there anything seriously put there?
Yes, there was, yeah. We had a couple of offers. The club didn't quite feel that it matched what they thought the valuation was. And obviously the position that we're in, they felt, well, let's wait till the end of the season and see how things transpire.
Yeah, and to be fair to the position you're in, I mean, I looked at it myself and I actually got asked by a reporter, and I said exactly the same thing. As a manager, you really don't want someone like Hawkins going at this time of year in the position that you're in. But did you expect it? I mean, you've had such a quick turnaround, John, going in and got the club stabilised, and as you do, got a team at the top of the division with sort of young, hungry players yet again. Is it that you've got to sell the formula one day?
Well, listen, you'll know yourself, the only formula that ain't been funny is hard work. Boys with a bit of talent, there's lots of them about, but they've got to have the other bit. And we've been really, honestly, we've been blessed. We took the boy, Okunbiri, from Harrowborough. We took Corey Whiteley, that you all know, obviously, from Enfield, and Hawkins from Hemel Hempstead. And I'll be honest, they've been absolutely terrific. We've had offers for two of those, Hawkins and for one of the others. And, because of their age, they're only going to get better if they work hard. And this is the thing, to be fair, that I've always tried to do. I'd love to try and look for players and try and build a team. And we know sometimes along the way we've sold loads of them, but we're not worried about that. But if they can help make our team better and help make the players around them better, when they move on, they go with our blessing.
Yeah, the last one for me, you go into it's after Christmas now, you're right up there. Do you worry about inexperience in your ranks going into the last sort of 10, 12 games, John?
I'll be honest, and please don't take this the wrong way, right? I don't, because I think I've got enough experience to recognise when we perhaps need to just adjust things in games, when perhaps the inexperience of players can't adjust it for themselves. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does, man. It really does.
Well, you're not alone in saying that, though, John. I was reading an article on you this week saying putting that comeback in the last match against Southport coming from behind down to your in-game tweaking.
Yeah, I mean, we played at Southport and the pitch wasn't the best. That's nothing to do with Southport, rain and everything, you know. Pitch wasn't the best and they play quite direct, which I think was the right way to play on that pitch. We tried to play a bit too short and we couldn't get up the pitch early enough. So, and we haven't, you know, we got one or two. Gutteridge didn't play, which didn't help the situation, but Boucard played that did help it. And we just said, look, listen, we've got to go long for the next 15 minutes to try and make the pitch a bit bigger for us, and we did that, and in that time we managed to get three goals. And so, you know, it's just something that maybe if I had touched more experience playing would perhaps be able to do that without me saying it, but I understand that I have to say it sometimes.
I know you're a fan of what the Cowley boys are doing at Lincoln. Do you think that they'll be affected by the fact they're in the cup this weekend, trophies still, that they've still got all these other competitions to focus on?
You know what, Karen? I don't know. And the way I look at it is that it is really, really hard worrying about my own team. So I don't worry about anybody else. I'm always the same. Listen, the way that I look at it and the way that I try to do it, we've just got to be the best we can be. If we're the best team in the league, we win it. If we're the second best team, we're going to come second. If we're the third best, we're going to come third. So I don't really worry too much about others. And, you know, what I do know is this second half of the season, you know, it's not about playing well. It's about winning games. So there's lots of other factors come into it. It's a mental strength. It's a desire. It's keeping your nerve. It's all of those things that are going to come into it. And, you know, it's not always about being the best team. It's about being a winning team now. And that's what we hope we can be.
When it comes into that situation, John, and you know you've 100 years experience, but who manages the manager? I always found at times that had to have people to lean on, people not even within the club. I know the staff are very important, but one of my mates who would come to a lot of games who is outside of the picture. But who manages the manager? Who do you turn to?
Yeah, I speak to a few people that I've known for years, and you know, just to try and run things through before I bring it into the club. You know, not always the same people, just people that I know and people that I've worked with or played against years ago. Just people that I think can give me a touch of knowledge. Sometimes you can be too close to the pitcher. I have a couple of pals that come to games, I talk to them. And as I say, sometimes you can be too close to the pitcher yourself and you don't see everything. And I understand that. And I think it's a fool that doesn't recognise that. It's a fool that thinks they know everything.
Well, we've got
That's
plenty of
I
fools
wrong,
on this.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it.
You say it best when you say nothing at all. John, get back to training. Not that they need it at the moment. Brilliant stuff this season. And thank you so much for coming on.
Good to speak to you, John. Good to speak. Cheers, mate. Look after yourself.
So, Dave Anson, that was us, as you may have heard, speaking to John Still. He's got the air and the confidence. I know when I said to him right at the start, oh, how is it up the top of the table? And he said, well, we're nearly there. But they have just closed in on that second position, haven't they?
Yeah. He uses calmness, doesn't he? He's just always the same when you play against him, if you interview him, if you bump into him. He's got a real calmness about him. And I said in the interview, he needs to sell the formula, be worth millions, because he just always seems to get it right, you know. They'll be there at the end. He's brought through another sort of two or three players who can move on into the professional game, and is one of the nice guys, Kaz. So I'll be torn at the end of the year if it's him and Danny Cowley, you know. But he's made Dagenham bounce back, and he's bounced back after Luton, which is the big thing as well. And also he's not old, but he's a senior statesman in the game, and he's still got that hunger and appetite. I'm retired. I've walked off into the sunset.
how old is John now, anyway?
I think if we say he'd never come on again.
Yeah. Let's not mention The Lady Never Tells, which is me.
No.
Of course. Dave Watters, you followed many through your guys in the non-league paper, the magazine as well. You followed many a manager win promotion from the non-league circles back into the Football League. What is it about John Steele that you think makes him unique?
I think he's got a great eye for young players. He did that at Dagenham before, particularly. And he's got the respect of everybody in the game. I think Dave's kind of summed it up a minute ago when he said that he'll be torn at the end of the season. Because him and Danny, they're both really nice guys. And I think they're very well loved by their fans and their players.
I think
people want to play for them, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, I think that you've got the two ends of the scale. You know, John's sort of been to the mountain, and you know, and Danny's at the bottom on his way up it. You know, but the one thing I find about John Steele is his ability to unearth these sort of gems, or we call them uncut diamonds, and turn them into players. You know, he's done that year after year after year, Dave. You know, I always find that interesting, and the formula that he works to. And even going back, people say, don't go back. And he's done that and done it successfully.
I love you talking about formulas. Go on. Sorry, I was in my element then, listening to the mathematical genius that is Dave Anderson.
Sorry. I'm just thinking, do you know what would be a dream team as well? You know, maybe one for the future. I wouldn't want to push out Danny's brother. But, you know, John Steele and him, the two of them working together, what a pair they would make, eh?
Yeah. No, do you know why it wouldn't work?
Why?
Because they're both managers.
Yeah, well, there is that. Yeah, would one?
Yeah, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, imagine one of them as a director of football. How much we'd all love that. Now, we mentioned the delights of Dagenham. They had a big match against Lincoln that they were due to play over the next couple of weeks. Dagenham going Guiseley at home, Bromley at home. Then they were meant to play Lincoln, but that's been postponed because of Lincoln in the trophy. Well, Lincoln have the small matter of the FA Cup to deal with this weekend. Off to Burnley. Sutton and Lincoln, of course, the last two non-league teams, incredibly standing. And we're in February. The man who's gone shoulder to shoulder with them all is FA Cup Fat File on Twitter, Phil Annetts. Hiya, Phil.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
Yeah, we're all right. How's the heart heading into this weekend then?
Well, I've got over the dilemma of the last round where Sutton defeated my favourite team, Leeds United. So that was an interesting weekend. And I'm now fully behind Sutton United and Lincoln City, looking forward to them becoming record breakers in the FA Cup.
Well, let's focus on that then, because there's a brilliant line in your preview that everyone should read, where you say, the ill-informed mass media trumpet that this is the first time since the Football League was established in 1888 that two non-league sides have made it to the last 16. They are wrong, are the ill-informed mass media, aren't they, Phil?
They are indeed wrong. Even if you think about in 1888-89, there was only 12 teams in the Football League. So how could there only be less than two non-league clubs in the last 16? So even with a bit of logic, you can know that's not correct. But yeah, prior to the First World War and just beyond, non-league teams were at the same level as league teams. And so obviously we all know about Tottenham Hotspur winning the FA Cup. So yeah, back in the day, they were on the same level. But since 1925, we've never seen two non-league clubs this far in a competition, and it's fantastic.
Are there omens we should be looking at for a bit of success for them?
Well, it's very hard to say because there's no history of teams at this level at this stage in recent memory. But
if a team ends in N or something, can we go for that?
No, but they're both going for the record of Telford United, who beat four league clubs on their terrific run back in 1985. So they're both one away from that. So that's something for them to aim for. Lincoln have beaten Burnley in the FA Cup before, so you could use that. And you could safely say that Sutton have never lost to Arsenal in the FA Cup.
Well, I'm taking that. That's going to be a winner. Dave Watters, have you spent the week fielding people trying to get tickets for the Sutton-Arsenal match?
Funnily enough, not for Lincoln, funny enough, but for Sutton, yeah, I've had about five surprise calls from old friends I haven't spoken to for ages this week, yeah. And obviously they've got no chance. I'm around the corner and I won't be able to get in the ground. But I'll certainly be watching it. It's going to be huge. I actually think Sutton are going to do it, especially after seeing Arsenal this week getting torn apart. Well, I mean, it was Bayern Munich, but, you know, we're talking Sutton United.
They're too true. I wonder what you make, Watters. There was a little bit of a ruffle on social media this week about the fact that Sutton have taken the sponsorship of a paper, a newspaper, that perhaps many wouldn't like to associate with football, or at least some in the game wouldn't like to associate with football. What do you make of them taking sponsorship from the Sun?
To be calm about this, you know, the Sun have been famously banned by Liverpool. I think that's still standing, isn't it? Unless I've missed the news this week. We all know, sadly, what happened around Hillsborough and all the rows and the allegations and lies and stuff that were told. But this is something separate. This is, you know, they are a national newspaper. Sutton United, this is the biggest thing in their history. They've got to make as much money out of it as possible, as we all know. It's a national newspaper, and maybe I'm slightly biased, but I don't think Sutton, to be honest.
I think, to be fair, the people we have to mention in this, Kaz, is their own sponsors who have said to them, go ahead, get the sponsorship from the Sun and get more money and we'll stand back. And on the biggest game where they can get the biggest sort of media exposure, they've allowed the club to go and get someone else. I think, and you know, for the life of me, I can't remember their name, because I'd love to give them a plug and the people involved in that, because that's real sort of sacrifice.
Give me a moment and I will come up with that name for you, hopefully.
I'm madly having a look on Google Images to see if I can find. There's one with Plant on.
That's the guy.
Plant, how, yeah. Yeah.
Plant.
But I think they need massive sort of pats on the back for allowing you to do that. Can you imagine?
I think, to be fair, I think some other sponsors in the past have done that. I mean, going back, I know they changed the rules around it when Farnborough played up. It was Arsenal again, was it, that time? But I think at the time, even Farnborough's sponsors years ago, you know, 10 years ago, whatever, said it's okay, we'll step aside for one game. I think a lot of clubs that have got long-term sponsors, when this kind of thing happens, you know, they understand that this is such a big chance. I don't know what Sutton got for this sponsorship, but we're probably talking six figures, aren't we? Or at least five figures.
Do you know what, Kaz? I have to interrupt you and just say that one of the girls at the golf club has just brought me a mug of tea. What? I'm treated like a king here, you know that.
Phil, I don't know about you, but he's just interrupted any positive comeback from you on anything at all by talking about tea.
No, it's okay. I think it's right that Sutton do what they can to maximise their income. It's a shame that they've got to go with a newspaper like The Sun that has a checkered history regarding football. But, you know, it is their big day, their big opportunity, and it may never come round again. And this may help them in the short term, and perhaps maybe we'll see more advancement in the league positions for Sutton in the future.
Well, I'm absolutely determined we're going to talk to you in a couple of weeks' time when both teams make it through to the quarterfinals. Yeah. And what an event
that will be historic.
Oh, absolutely. I would put you on a throne, Phil, and carry you through the streets, personally. maybe not. I reserve the option to take that back. Phil, well done on all you've achieved this season. We'll get you on for a final wrap-up anyway, as I say, when Sutton and Lincoln make it through. But enjoy this weekend.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Really enjoy it.
Phil Annette's joining us at the next FA Cup Fact Fact. Go on. What were you going
to
say?
All I was going to say, by the way, it's Drew. I think we better give credit to Drew Smith Limited. I believe they are their front of shirt sponsors, and their away shirts are Champion Timber in Sutton. So well done to those sponsors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I've just realised the photo I was looking at was from 2010-11. So,
Plant High were there for a long time, so we should give them a mention anyway. But it's Drew Smith Limited, so well done.
Who else?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not on the BBC anymore, so who else would you like to mention? I'm surprised neither of you have taken an opportunity to mention, I know, a big pie or something else you'd like.
Yeah. What are you trying to say?
Well, what about it? Can I just throw in Ryman and Evo Stick?
Yeah, that's getting cut out. Like to say. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
I was going to ask Phil, and I'm interested in we spoke last week about, you know, the FA Cup and it sort of being undermined by by the big sides, the Premier sides, sort of playing under 23s and sort of squad players. But I just wonder, I was thinking about it all week, has it actually added to what the FA Cup is this year for us and our level?
What do you reckon, Waters?
Oh, I thought he was addressed in the field, but he's gone. What do you mean? Just make the point again there.
Could you just ask the question again?
I was listening, but it wasn't really...
Were you having a commercial break?
Yeah.
No, but it's... How do you mean, though, Dave? You mean
no? What I'm saying is that you know, last week I was critical of the FA, you know, allowing teams, Premier League teams, to play weekend sides, which sort of undermined the competition a bit. But I've been thinking about it all week. It's nearly added to what the cup competition is this year because the fact that Lincoln and Sutton have gone so far and beaten league clubs who have played it, you know, who have played weekend sides. So I'm torn between whether I think it's a good thing or a bad thing. I just wonder what you thought.
We've probably been quite fortunate, really, I suppose, that, you know, the teams have gone through. But I don't know. I think they should really play their best teams, whatever. When we probably would have been saying it's a disgrace. In normal circumstances, most years, we wouldn't have two teams this far, would we? But it's turned out rather nicely. So why you know, I'm not going to have a moment.
It's all turned out rather nicely again, which should be the motto for your life, Dave Waters. And you, Dave Anderson, as he sits over.
You've some editing to do after this one's recorded, let me tell you.
I very much enjoyed that chat you two were just having. But I am going to add to it, because it's not just the FA Cup this weekend. It's the FA Vars quarterfinals. And the only thing we can be sure of is there's a guarantee of a new name on the trophy. At Base of Pyramid follows all the action on Twitter, or as he's known on his birth certificate. Stuart joins us. Hiya, Stuart.
Hi there, everyone.
We followed a number of these teams throughout the season, as you have, and coming down to these last teams now all vying for Wembley, there's some big sides in there. South Shields taking on Newport Pagnell. We've got Cleethorpes in there as well. Sporting Cowser, we've spoken to before. Bromsgrove Sporting too. Who stands out for you, Stuart?
Well, for me, South Shields, I think, are probably going to be the favourites going into the quarterfinals. I mean, they've got the pedigree of being in the Northern League, which seems to be dominating the Vars at the moment. And they're playing really well this season. They've got the added incentive, of course, of chasing down North Shields in the league and chasing down North Shields in the Vars, who, of course, have won it in the past. So I think they're probably the favourites. I think it's fascinating that we've still got two Step 6 sides in there, and there's going to be... their massive crowd at Bromsgrove. I've just seen on Twitter that they've sold out. So
really?
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
3,000 sellouts. So Buckland are going to have their work cut out there, even though they're a step above them. So I quite fancy Bromsgrove in that one, I must say.
Well, I mean, that bodes well should they get further on in the competition as well, doesn't it? Because for non-league finals day, which we've all enjoyed at Wembley, it's great to have big side, or not big sides, big crowds there supporting the Vars, the teams that will get their town, their village behind them.
Absolutely, and it was great to see so many people from Hereford there last year. I think most of the sides that are left in it this season, they're going to take quite a few to Wembley, whoever gets there. So I think it's going to be a great day. And it would be great to see supporters from all other teams go down there and support the day, because it's a wonderful day out for everyone, I think.
Southall, one of your old sides, Dave Anderson.
Yeah, I managed Southall 114 years ago, I think it was. But and I'm delighted to see... to see their name back and around, because I worried for them for a long time, as I've said before. But what sort of chance do they stand going into the game?
Well, of course, they're the only team left in the last eight that have actually been there and done it. So, of course, they haven't won it, but they've been to Wembley. They've lost out to Hell's Own, I believe. I think once you get to this stage, everyone's got a chance. And, of course, they're at home. Cleethorpes have got the league to focus on, top of the league at the moment. I'm sure promotion would be definitely on their mind. So maybe they won't be focused quite as much on the Vars. So, yeah, I'll give Southall a chance, definitely.
especially as you're not managing, Dave. I don't know what's wrong with me this week. I apologise. It's been vicious. I'm not going to be vicious to you, Stuart, because you're my new favourite. Stuart, when we speak about South Shields, many will know about Julio Arca being there, about that they've had great support at league and in the cup competitions this season.
Indeed they have, yes. And for a few seasons now, they've been getting a lot of people turning up at Mariners Park, and they must be taking support away from local professional teams, I would have thought.
We don't care about that,
do we?
Wherever
they play, they're going to have a lot of people. Yeah. No, we don't care, no. if they get to Wembley, they will take a lot of people.
Then, to go on and win this, you
sorry,
think?
Sorry, Gornwaters, what did you say?
Are they the favourites for you, Stuart?
I wouldn't like to bet against.
Oh, sorry.
South Shields. Yeah, I wouldn't like to
South
bet
Shields,
against them.
Sorry, yeah, I've got Dave in my head. But yeah, do you think they will go on and win it?
Like I said, I wouldn't bet against them. I think they've got a very good chance of winning it. Yes. My outsiders are actually Kelsa. I've got a strange feeling about them this season.
Relatively new club as well, but they've got a good setup behind them, haven't they?
They have, and they showed a lot of spirit. I mean, that replay up at Sleaford a couple of rounds back, I mean, that, you know, to go that distance on a midweek and get that result, that was that showed a lot of team spirit, I think. And I think they could be the dark horses.
What is it about the Vars that appeals to you, Stuart?
To me, the Vars is where the FA Cup was when I was a kid back in the 70s. It's still full of magic to me, and I think the FA Cup, certainly to me, has lost that magic. I think the Vars, it's for the supporters as much as for the teams, I think. You know, it's fantastic. You get a day out at Wembley. Non-league finals day was superb last season. I can't wait for this season. So I think it's for people are playing because they love football, not because they love to pick up a paycheck at the end of the week.
I saw an interesting discussion on social. Well, I found it interesting social media the other day about whether the Vars and the trophy should become one. On that point, on the fact that the Vars has seemed to have carried quite a few teams through, and maybe trophy is losing a bit for some of the top teams in non-league football.
I like it the way it is. Yeah. I think it's an opportunity for the teams a little bit lower down the ladder to have a day out.
Too right. And what a day it will be. Go on, Dave Waters.
Yeah, so one more question just around that, actually. I've been speaking to people recently that say they would like to see it change. And what they would like, Stuart, would be to bring in the Step 4 clubs. You know, the Ryman North, Ryman South, all those kind of clubs into the Vars because of the way the trophy has gone in recent years, where, you know, the conference clubs, the National League clubs come in late. It always seems to be all right. We had Nantwich last year. There's a couple of clubs this year. But it's almost like a National League competition, the trophy. And a lot of people in non-league now are talking about bringing in, you know, Step 4, dropping them back into the Vars to make that more competitive. But do you think that
fair point.
The whole joy of the Vars then for these smaller clubs, in inverted commas, like South Shields?
Well, I think, to be honest, I think teams like South Shields would probably be able to compete with most of the teams in Step 4 anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I wouldn't be 100% against that. I certainly wouldn't want the trophy and the Vars to be merged, but I wouldn't be 100% against Step 4 teams coming in there because I think it would still be fairly competitive and I don't think the Step 4 teams would dominate it.
So if people, and why wouldn't they, want to follow you on social media and take a look at your website and your preview to the weekend, how can they do that, Stuart?
Well, my Twitter account is @BasePyramid. And my website is www.botp.co.uk.
And it is well worth a look. Stuart, thank you for letting us interrupt your day. And what an interruption it was. And we'll hopefully talk to you again soon. Enjoy this weekend.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Stuart. Stuart from Base of the Pyramid joining us then on the non-league show. It's a similar argument, Waters, as I was reading too. And yeah, Dave Anderson, you seem to be behind that, but it's not wanting to take away from the quality of the Vars, and as Stuart was saying, those great teams that come through it.
Yeah, no, I think that of all, listen, merging the two cups is a no-no for me, an absolute no-no. But I think bringing in Step 4 it's certainly something to go home and sleep on. I think it's one of the better things that's come out of Water's mouth in the last 3 or 4 months, to be honest. It could work.
Well, we finished this week with a strange tale of a new manager thanks to an army call-up. Winchester City have been forced to appoint Mick Catlin. You can certainly take me to task over that as their new manager in strange circumstances. Mick, don't worry about me. I'll put my false teeth back in. Thank goodness you won't have that same problem. What's happening, Mick? Tell us what's happened.
Well, I've recently left Gosport. I've been assistant manager there for 9 years with Alex Pike. And it's a bit of a loose end, really. I've known Ian Saunders, the Winchester City manager, for quite a few years. So he was my assistant at Fleet Town and Chichester City for a while. And he rang me up and said that he'd been posted to America for 10 days, basically, at short notice. And they had a tricky set of games coming up with teams in and around them in the league. And he didn't really just want to leave and not have someone looking after the reins, really holding the fort while he was away. So I said, he asked if I'd step in, and I said yes, and he left the day after, and I sort of thrown in at the deep end, really. So
yeah, we should say posted as in he works in the army rather than any other joke that I was about to make there.
Yeah, he works in the army, and obviously they I'm not sure the ins and outs of what it involved, but something had happened and it was urgent that he went immediately, and there wasn't a lot of time really to think it through. So I said, yep, you go. And I know Dave Malone, the director of football there. And obviously I'd spoken to him. So it's just, and I just came in for the North League game last Saturday, and we had a game midweek at Mangotsfield Tuesday night.
Go on, Dave Anderson.
Hiya, Mick. The mention of a director of football threw me, but I'll try and keep on my original question, which was more about obviously he has his own staff, and as an assistant manager, you'd be asking the question, why hasn't he allowed me to look after it for 10 days? Was there any communication between you and them?
Yes, we had a meeting. I mean, Jay Hampson, the assistant manager, I've known for a number of years anyway. And yeah, you're quite right. He was more than capable of looking after the side. But Ian just felt the fact that I wasn't doing anything, and, you know, a bit of added experience. It's their first season at this level. And I think he'd missed a couple of games previous to this as well, where the assistant manager had obviously came in and looked after it. And it was just a bit of sometimes it can, a fresh set of eyes can have a look at it. And, you know, maybe, you know, I've been working along with him, and he's quite happy for me to come in. So it wasn't, I wouldn't have done it if it had caused any problems, you know. So it was just, it fitted just for everyone.
Do you know the player?
Well, 5 or 6 of them, I'd worked with previously at Gosport over the years, so I sort of knew the squad. Locally, most of the players move around the same circuit in Hampshire, as you're probably aware, in most areas. So, I knew a lot about them. I'd watched the game previous without even knowing, actually, that this was going to happen. I watched them play Wantage the Saturday before, just purely to go and see Ian, and I think that's where it came about. We were chatting, and then he got dragged away, and it obviously, I was fresh in his mind, I think, to do it. So,
Dave Waters.
Yeah, Mick. So, hi, mate. Hello, mate. Yeah, Ian obviously knows he's leaving his club in safe hands. Now, having a look at the tape, they're not that far off the playoffs and stuff. So, I presume he's set you a little target. Is it 9 points?
It's always going to be 9 points, and that was my target. But the pressure the pressure always comes from yourself anyway. Whatever you do, doesn't it? In football, you want to go in there and make an impact. But it's 3 difficult games, really. I mean, North Lee are quite a good side. It's always a difficult place to go, and we lost that one on Saturday. But we created a hell of a lot of chances and should have won the game, really. But Tuesday night was, again, we drew 3-3, and we were leading twice in that game, and then they pegged us back in the last few minutes. So there have been eventful games, and you know, obviously I'm under pressure now to get a win on Saturday against second place Evesham, so no pressure.
Go on, Waters.
I'm sure you'll come away with the 3 points, but now that you've done this, are you for hire now for the rest of non-league? Are you like a six gun? You know, we need someone in for a couple of weeks.
What, rent a manager? Yeah, no, I don't think I'd want to be doing it on a regular basis. As you know, Dave will tell you that, you know, it takes a while to get your own people in, and, you know, it takes a while to build a side. And, you know, Ian will be back after Saturday, and I'm sure he'll hit the ground running again, and he'll carry on from where he left off. So, they're a good side, and they're capable of getting in and around the playoffs, and I'm sure they'll achieve that.
Did it happen, Mick, like happens sometimes, you know, when my mum and dad have gone away and they leave a list of things that I have to do? Did Ian leave you a list of who you should put in the team and what you should do?
No, I mean, luckily he was still contactable, you know, leading up to the games, and they've got quite a small squad, to be fair. So he just left me with it, really. And between me and Jay Hampson, the assistant manager, we just picked the side that we felt was the right one for each side. And Ian left us to get on with it, really. I don't think it's, you know, most of the managing is done during the 90 minute period of the game, and you have to make, you know, decisions based on what's happening in the game. So it's very difficult to, you know, do that from a distance. So Ian trusts me enough to know that I'll do what's best for the team, you know.
Too right. How's the hunger now then? What has this left you, this state it's left you?
It's always been the hunger. I mean, to be fair, I didn't really want to leave Gosport. It was just the circumstances there had changed over the past year. We lost the entire squad. It was pretty soul-destroying after some of the success we'd had there. And you know, I don't want to be out of football, but it was just they'd gone back on a few promises, and I felt it was the right time to leave. But you know, my aim is to try and get back in. My choice would be as a manager, but you know, as assistant manager with the right person, I'm happy to do that, you know, whatever comes along.
Well, Dave Anson currently has his feet up over a golf course, so he's not doing anything at the moment.
No, well, I say, how do you find it now you've been out of it for a while? Do you regret it, or do you miss it? Or
I have many regrets in life, Mick. This isn't one of them.
No. It's a lot better talking about it, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah. Listen, I heard a great saying the other day, the older I get, the better I was.
Yeah, that's very true.
I wonder if it was Arsene Wenger saying that.
Oh, right. When you're losing, you wonder why you do it, don't you?
Yeah, too right. So,
I'd have thought, Mick, that it's only a matter of time, surely, with your record, until something does come up. I think in this situation, nice guys, I always say to nice guys, you have to be a pain in the backside. Now you have to get yourself about and make people aware that you're available.
Yeah, it's disappointing that generally you get an opportunity on the back of somebody not doing very well. And it's when you've been in management, you feel for every manager who's under pressure. I'm not one of those who goes and sits in the stand waiting for, you know, a struggling manager to get the sack. But like you say, sometimes you have to put yourself around. I think you can do it.
You don't need to do that one, but you can be at games and make people aware. And I think the other thing is that, we do all feel for each other for about five minutes, and then we've enough pain of our own. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, true.
Well, go enjoy it, Mick. Enjoy it. And well done for stepping up too. And more importantly, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Mick,
appreciate that.
Good luck, and we will speak to you again soon.
Well, hopefully, thank you.
Mick Callan joining us down at Winchester. Yeah, it's... you say good luck to him too. It's one of those things to be able to stand up, to have the quality to step up last minute, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. I think when he's got the experience he has, and he'll have a knowledge of some of the players in the dressing room, I think that sometimes players quite enjoy it, because it's nearly like a sort of weekend away, you know, get someone else instead of the gaffer, and he'll know what the gaffer wants, and he'll be able to introduce it in a different voice. And I think the dressing room sometimes really enjoys it.
A couple of other stories before we go. Namely, this is your moment, your 5-minute warning, you two, if there's anything else you want to mention. We are going to take a look at Cambridge City. That they issued a statement this week about an appeal to the High Court over their new stadium, which doesn't look like it's going well for the Southern Premier Division club. So we'll hopefully get some more on that too. Also, there's been quite a bit with Wrexham and where they're going next. Thank you to all the fans that got in touch with us about that. We are in touch with the council and we'll hopefully update on that next week too. Right, speak now, forever hold your peace, boys, or something at least.
Well, I'll go first. Mine's quick. Mine's short and sweet. Mine is all the very, very best to Sutton and Lincoln. And no matter what happens, they've given us a ride this year that we won't forget. And many thanks to the people at Northwood Golf Club for letting me host the show from here.
Yeah.
Any golf clubs you'd like to thank, Dave Waters?
No, I'd just like to say best of luck to our FA Cup boys over the weekend and Monday night. I think we're going to get at least one win, if not two. And news-wise, I just kind of things I want to flag up. This weekend, Tonbridge Angels, you might have seen, they're screening hundreds of young players again this week. Well, maybe not hundreds, but many, for heart screening. You know, they launched this campaign a couple of years ago, the football campaign. That's happening again this weekend, which I think is brilliant. They've raised over £30,000 there, fans. And just on just switching leagues to the Southern League, Cambridge City yesterday, you might have seen, you know, they've been trying to get a new home for ages. Well, you know, 3 or 4 years now. And they had a big legal blow yesterday in the High Court in London. It was an appeal against their against the planning permission that they actually won to build a new home was upheld. So they're in limbo again now and trying to fight for a new home.
Do you want to break it to him or shall I, Dave Anson?
No, I don't. I was sitting here going,
I know what you're going to say now. You talked about that before I came on the show, didn't you?
No, we talked about it about 25 seconds ago.
What, Cambridge City? Really? Well, it didn't come from...
Oh, Waters, you need to have a rest, son. You need to go in a dark room for a fortnight.
You know what? I'm not laughing about the story, clearly. I'm just laughing about the fact that Dave Waters was not listening to me when I just said, well, hopefully find out more about Cambridge City and their plight next week.
I am. I'm sorry. I was thinking ahead. I was in my...
you know what? I love you for it. This show has been brought to you. So in association with you, Dave Waters, and yes, absolutely. Cambridge City, many a great match with Chelmsford going to watch them too. They always had a couple of players that always hoped we would get for our side and we never did. And they were a team that I hoped we would be like back in their glory days too. So I'd love to see Cambridge City.
You know, of course, we're all behind them.
Just one more then, if I've got time to mention it actually, but the Northern Premier League, their fans player of the year vote is also closing this week. So if there's any Northern Premier League fans out there want to vote for their stars of the season, they've only got about a day left.
Yeah, and Kaz, just one more for me. There's a guy taking over at Winchester at the weekend, Mick Kaplan. You
know.
I know that'll get cut out, but I couldn't resist it. I'm sorry.
It won't. Don't worry.
Come in the butt for all the jokes here now.
I know.
I'm only joking, son. I'm only joking.
Dave Waters, I love you with all my heart. Dave Anson, that means there's only my head left for you, but that too rules it. Waters, Anson, thank you.
There's an answer to that as well.
If there's a story you'd like us to repeat twice throughout the show, you can get in touch at Non-League Show.
Great time.